Today's Shir in the Daf Yomi is Gemara in Megillah Daf Lamed Beis, which concludes the Masechta. This is the last Daf in this beautiful Masechta, and we're beginning on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom with the words Tanu Rabban. We're learning today Le'ilu Nishmas Edith Taub. Just received her yard site. That was on from December 12th, and from Leba Fruma Bat Zelig, that was on December 25th, as well as Meir Ben Shlomo. All the Neshamas we learn for should have an Aliyah from our learning. Tanu Rabbanan, the Braisa begins. Makom shemafsikin b'Shabbos Shachris, the place where they leave off the laning on Shabbos morning. In other words, when we finish the parsha, today I'm dictating this Matzei Shabbos, so today we're laying Parsha's bow. So Shom Korim b'Mincha. So we started laning b'Shalach today by Shabbos Mincha. By Mincha, the place where we left off by Shabbos Mincha, which was at the end of Rishon of b'Shalach. So this Mandi Omer, which we'll see, is not the way we paskin l'halacha. This is the opinion of Rav Meir, Shom Korim B'Sheni. So he says that we would lane on Monday, we would start laning from Sheni. And then we would lane Sheni on Monday. B'Sheni, that place where we left off on Monday, Shom Korim B'Chamishi, we'd start off laning on Shlishi on Thursday. And then when we left off Shlishi on Thursday, let's say we read to Ravi, so B'Chamishi, that place where we left off on Thursday, Shom Korim L'Shabbos Abba, that's where we would start laning on the next Shabbos morning. In other words, we would continue from the place that we last left off. So wherever we left off on the laning on Shabbos morning, that's where we'd start Shabbos Mincha. Wherever we left off on Shabbos Mincha, that's where we'd lane Monday from, the start. Wherever we left off Monday, that's where we'd start laning on Thursday. Wherever we left off on Thursday, that's where we'd start the following Shabbos morning for the laning. That's the opinion of Rebbe. That's obviously not the way we paskin. Rehuda disagrees. He says what we do, Malkum Shemafsikim B'Shabbos Shachris, that place where we leave off on Shabbos morning. Like I said today, we lane Parashas Bo. So then we started laning B'Shalach by Mincha today, Shom Korim B'Mincha, and Ubisheni, on Monday we're going to lean from the beginning of B'Shalach, Ubachamishi on Thursday we're going to lean from the beginning of B'Shalach, and then L'Shabbos Abba, next Shabbos morning, we're going to lean from the beginning of B'Shalach. In other words, as we all know the custom, this is the way Rabbi Yehuda explains it, that you just reread that multiple times. You read it by Mincha time, by Monday, by Thursday, but the following Shabbos you start again from the very beginning. Amr Rezeira says, Halacha. The Halacha is, Makom Shemafsikim B'Shabbos Shachris, Shom Korim B'Mincha, Ubisheni, Ubachamishi, L'Shabbos Abba. Exactly like the opinion that we just said, which is Rabbi Yehuda. So Gemara asks the obvious question, V'lei Malach Rabbi Yehuda. Why didn't Rabbi Zeira just tell us that the Halach is like Rabbi Yehuda, instead of going through the entire statement that seems to be much easier to have said that Halach is like Rabbi Yehuda. So the reason why he didn't do so we turn to Lamed Beis, Amud Beis, the last Amud in this beautiful Masechta, where he writes, Mishum, the Ika, there's some that have the gears of the Ika, the Afchiluhu, because there are those that have flipped it around, and they had attributed the statement of Rav Meir to Rav Yehuda, and the statement of Yehuda, they had attributed to Rav Meir. So therefore, if he had just said the halacha is like Rav Yehuda, there were those that might have misunderstood and thought that Rav Yehuda's opinion was Rav Meir's opinion, and that, in fact, you keep on progressing in the laning, so when you left off on Shabbos morning, you start at Shabbos Mincha, and then you continue at Monday, laning further, and Thursday laning further, the following Shabbos morning laning further. So if he just said the halach is like Rav Yehuda, there may have been a mistake. So therefore he stated specifically what the halach is, that the laning stays the same each time, Mincha time, Monday, Thursday, it's all the same Rishon laning, and we start again from there on Shabbos morning. Tanu Rabban, we have a similar discussion in terms of how do you actually give the person the aliyah. When you have the person come up for the aliyah, you have to show him the place where he's getting the aliyah from, so he knows what he's making the bracha on. But then, do you close the Sefer Torah, or do you not close the Sefer Torah? So that's what this Bryce is going to talk about, and it's going to conclude in a similar way, that there were those that had an opinion as to, machlokis, as to which was Rav Meir's opinion, which was Yehuda's opinion, so it's going to end off in the same way, Mishum, the Iko, the Ofchiluhu, there are those that flip it around. So the Gemara says, the Bryce, Tana Rabbanon, when a person comes up for the aliyah, so poseach, they open up the Sefer Torah, Viro, and they show him where the laning is going to start from. And then the Tanakhama says, this is the opinion of Rav Meir, Golel, you then close the Sefer Torah, Umavarach, then he makes the bracha, and then you open it up again, Vichozer, Uposeach, and then the Kori de Baal Kriya starts reading right away. Divrei Rav Meir. So Rav Meir says that after you point out the place, you close the Sefer Torah, the person makes the bracha. We'll see the reason behind this is that nobody should mistakenly think that the bracha is actually inside the Sefer Torah and that he's reading from the Sefer Torah. And therefore, you close the Sefer Torah, so that can't be a mistake that anybody could make. That's the opinion of Rav Meir. Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda Omer, Poseach, you show the person the place, you open up the Sefer Torah, Viro, you point out where you're going to start the laning from. Umevarech, he makes the bracha, the Koreh. And then he lanes without ever having closed the Sefer Torah. So you keep it open, so you won't have any tircha de tzibur, you won't have any delay in having to open up the Sefer Torah a second time and finding the place for it. Now some have the gears over here. At the conclusion, we finish the laning, then definitely you close the Sefer Torah of a golel, and then mevarach, and then you make the bracha afterwards. So everybody agrees, when there's no question of tircha de tzibura, you want to keep the Sefer Torah closed while you're making the bracha. So at the concluding bracha, Ashenos Alonu Toras Emes, so therefore there's no reason that you can't keep it closed, you're going to close it anyway, you might as well close it right away. As soon as the Aliyah is over, you close the Sefer Torah before you make the bracha, everybody agrees to that, and at that point in time, you then make the concluding bracha. Because there's no concern there that Tircha Tzibura, so therefore everybody agrees, there is a concern that people potentially might think that the bracha is in the Sefer Torah if you had it open and you read it, and you said the bracha. Now, my time of the Rebbe. The Gemara now asks, why did Rebbe say you have to close the Sefer Torah? So I already gave us this answer. So he holds Kidu'ula. He holds like Ula. Now Ula said it in a related area, and Rebbe replies it to the Brach as well. Where did Ula say it? The Amr Ula. Ula said it in regards to Mipnei Ma Amru HaKori BaTorah Lo Yisayeya Limiturgumen. Ula had said, where do we know, or why do we know, that the one who is laning shouldn't be also the Miturgumen? We mentioned already many times that the person who reads a pasuk, so then there was a maturgaman, and a translator, an interpreter, who would then tell the people in the vernacular language, which was targum, which was unkelis, and he would read them unkelis. So there'd be the equivalent to somebody reading a pasuk today, and then somebody saying what the pasuk means in English. So they used to do that, and therefore the one who actually was laning shouldn't be the one to be the maturgaman. Why? So Ulu explains, Kadesh Shalayomu, so people seeing him saying the Targum, that he's saying what the words mean, shouldn't think that the Targum is Kasa B'Torah. It's actually written down in the Torah, because they won't know that he's not reading from the Torah. He was the one that was just laning. Maybe he's just continuing and translating. So though too, in that situation, the person who's getting the aliyah and laning shouldn't be the metargame, so to aviyah, hochanami, Rav Meir is concerned, based upon this din of Ula, Kidei Shelo Yomru, people shouldn't mistakenly say that the brachos ksuvim b'Torah, that the brachos are also written in the Torah, and therefore, in this situation, he says, you have to keep the Torah the close, so nobody should make that mistake. Here you can't have somebody else make the bracha. Here he's the one that's laning or getting the aliyah, so he has to make the bracha, and therefore to get around the concern that maybe somebody might think that he's reading the bracha from the Torah, Rav Meir, based upon this statement from Ula, says keep the Torah closed. Now, nobody argues with Ula's din. Everybody agrees that the person laning shouldn't be the maturgaman. So if Rav Yehuda agrees with Ula's din that there is this concern that people might think that you're saying the Targum from inside the Torah, so then Taka, why doesn't Rav Yehuda also say you should keep the Torah closed? Because maybe people will think that you're making the bracha from inside the Sefer Torah. So what does Rav Yehuda do with this? Rav Yehuda, so he says, Targum, the Targum, people could easily make a mistake, Iko Limite, because they'll think, wow, that's a long thing that he's saying, he must be reading it from inside, not realize that he is translating the words that he's reading from inside. And therefore, they'll mistakenly think that the Targum is actually written in the Sefer Torah. But the brachos, like Limite, there is no concern that people make a mistake and say the brachos are there, because A, number one, it's a bracha. So they know that this is a usual thing that people do. They make a bracha. So therefore, they're not going to think that it's inside. Likewise, it's a short thing, and they're not going to make a mistake that the bracha is inside. At least Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned about that. However, he is enough concerned about it that, as I pointed out, that those that have the gears over here, at the conclusion of the Aliyah, Golel, Umavarech, so we are concerned enough about it when there's no reason not to. And as I pointed out, the reason why Rav Yehuda says we would rather keep the Sefer Torah open is to prevent that even split second of Tircha de Tzibura, that we're delaying the Tzibura to start the laning. So again, I always point this out to people. Imagine if the Chazal, Rav Yehuda, was so concerned that we have for that 1 second that you have to find the place after you close the Sefer Torah, you make the bracha, then you have to open it up and find the place. How long does that take? A second? 2 seconds? How much more so is a terrible thing in Tircha de Tzibura? People are talking, and they have to delay the starting the laning until everybody gets quiet. So that's a Musar Haskel that everybody needs to understand. How do we paskin? So Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rav Masna, Rav Zeira said the name of Rav Masna, Halacha, again, he doesn't tell us by the name of the Tana, but he says the Halacha is Poseach, you open up the Sefer Torah, Vero, you point out the place, as the Mishnah Berurah pointed out, I said before, you have to know what you're making the bracha on, Umevarech, and you make the bracha without closing it, the Kore. So we paskin over here, like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, you don't close the Sefer Torah. Again, the Gemara says, "Nu v'leim halachi Rav Yehuda." So it's just saying halachas Rav Yehuda rather than saying poseach v'ro b'varach v'kore. So we give the same terrors that we read before. Mishum, some have the gears over here. Mishum de'ika, there are those, the avkilu, that flipped it around and said that what Rav Meir said was really Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda said was really Rav Meir. So therefore, so there shouldn't be any doubt how we paskin. He specifically stated what the psak halacha is. Furthermore, Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rav Nasna, another statement that Rav Zeira said in the name of Rav Masna, haluchos. Now Rashi says, what are these luchos? He says, I'm not sure. Lo yadati mahin. I'm not 100% sure what they're referring to. And some have the gears over here in the Gemara that the luchos don't have the kedusha of the aron. When it says over here that the luchos ain't behem mishum kedusha, so some have the gears. You can see this on the side in Masoras Hashas, where it says the gears of the rushes, they don't have the kedusha of the aron. They don't have the full status of being like the aron. However, the yesh behem kedushas beis haknesses, but they do have the kedusha of the beis haknesses. So these luchos, which Rashi says is not sure what they are, so Rashi then brings down the yesh befarshim, those that say that min hein ha'asuyin l'svarim shalonu. They were something that we would put our svarim on, she'enon asuyin begilon, that aren't made like a scroll. So this is some sort of a platform that they would put svarim on. Those were the luchos and the bimos. The Rashi says the bimos show you osin lemelech. This would be like some sort of a stand that the king would sit on. And you see this in Hakel, Parshas Melech, like we learned the Gemara in Sota. So ein behem mishum kedusha. They don't have the status of being kadosh. And like I said on the side, the Rosh Hashita is they don't have the status of being kadosh like an aron. They do have the kedusha of a beis haknesses. So this is important to know what their status is, as we learned in the previous datum, what you're allowed to sell them for, what you'd be allowed to exchange them for, in terms of their Kedusha. You're not allowed to more read in Kedusha, you only go up in Kedusha. Then the Gemara continues, and it's going to tell us a whole number of things that Rav Shvatya says in the name of Yochanan. Rav Shvatya says in the name of Yochanan, Hagolel Sefer Torah, the person who does Galila. Now, what we call Galila is not necessarily what the Gemara refers to as Galila. When the Gemara says Galila, they're talking really about Hagba. So for practical purposes, when it says Hagola, Sefer Torah, it means the one that does Hagba. So the one who's doing Hagba on the Sefer Torah, Tzorich Shiamidenu Alatfar. When you do Hagba, you make sure that you lift it up, that you have a seam where the two parchments are sewn together. That should be in the middle. And one of the practical reasons for this is because if it were to rip over there, because let's say it fell down on one side a little bit, so it would strain it, at a good break point. It would be much more preferable to rip along the seam like that, which can easily be re-sewn, rather than to have it rip, Rachmon al-Islam, right through the cloth, and then you'd have to redo that entire cloth's worth of Sefer Torah. So therefore, Rav Shvatya said in the name of Yochanan, when you do Hagba, Hagolel Sefer Torah, Tzor Shamidenu al-Tfar, make sure that you do it on the seam, on the tfar, on the part where it's sewn together. Another statement that he makes, Amar Rav Shvatya, Amar Rav Yochanan, another statement is, HaGolel Sefer Torah, Gololo Mibachutz, V'ein Gololo Mibifnim. When you do this rolling, now here, it's talking about something else. Here, Rashi explains HaGolel Sefer Torah, Me'inyun Le'inyun, you want to roll from one place to another. You want to go from Parshas Bo to Parshas B'Shalach, V'hu Yochid, and you're by yourself. So what do? The Sefer Torah, Munachlo Abirkov. You put half of the Sefer Torah, one roll, one side of it, towards your body, and the other half you put further away from you, you roll it across your leg to your knees, let's say, when you're sitting down. And so in this way, you have the Sefer Torah that's closer to you, that half of the Sefer Torah that's close to you, and the other half is further away from you. So he's telling us over here, this din Rav Shvatya and Rav Yochanan, when you do this rolling of the Sefer Torah, Golo Mibachutz, have the part that you're turning be the part that's further away from your body, and not the part that's closer to your body. As Rashi continues, he says, Golo Mibachutz, Ha'omet Shuchutzlo, that roll, that half of the Sefer Torah that is further away from you, roll from there, Golo from there, V'yogol Mitzad Chutz, and roll it from the further side, Litzad Pnim, to the inner side where it's closer to your body. Because in this way, Shem Yochos Omet HaPnimi, if you were to hold the inner part and roll from there, it could easily roll off your leg. And it could easily fall on the floor, which would be a terrible denigration of the Sefer Torah. So you should be very careful when you do this rolling that you roll it from the further part away from you so it won't fall down. Likewise, Ushu Mahatko. As Rashi says, after you've rolled it to the right place that you want to, Ubala Hatko, and you want to now put it back all together, have it tightly packed together. Yochaz bifnimi. Here he says, go and take the inner side, the yahadik alachitzon, and bring it towards the further side away from you. Kadesh lo yechasa ksab is rosav. So you shouldn't put your hands over the print, so to say. So when you're rolling it here and you're showing it to the public, doing Hagba and Galila, Shemitzu laharus is aksav elo'om. You have to show it to all the people. When you're closing the Sefer Torah, Shemahatko, so it's brought down in the Sechah Sofrim that you have to show the people. This is why everybody looks at the Sefer Torah when they do Hagba, to try to see the print. If you're far away, you look in that general direction as best as you can, and you therefore are going to do this Hagba in this fashion. Shemahatko, when you close it up, Mahatko mi b'fnim, v'eino Mahatko mi b'chutz. You do it in a way that you won't cover it up, and this way people can see the written Sifrei Torah parts that are visible. Okay, another statement that Rav Shvatya said in the name of Yochanan, Rav Shvatya, Rav Yochanan, Asara, you have 10 people, Shekar B'Torah, you have need a minimum of course 10 boys, a man above the age of Bar Mitzvah. So if you have 10 people reading from the Torah, who should you give Hagba to? Hagodol Shebem, the greatest amongst them, Golel Sefer Torah, he gets the Hagba. Again, it calls Galil over here, but it really means Hagba. Golel Sefer Torah, he's given the honor of having Hagba. Sometimes people say, Hagba, you just give it to a big guy. No, it's a tremendous cover to get Hagba. If you're able to do Hagba, so a person should strive to do that. It's a wonderful kibbut to get, and as we'll see in the Gemara further. Then he tells us, Hagolo, the one who does Hagba, no tell Schar Kula. He is rewarded that he gets the reward of seemingly all the other people that got the aliyahs. So after there were 7 aliyahs on a Shabbos, so the guy that gets Hagba gets the reward for all 7 of those aliyahs. As the Omer of Yeshua Levi, as Yeshua Levi taught us, Asar Shekar B'Torah, Hagolo Sefer Torah, Kibo Schar Kula. As Yeshua Levi said, that you had 10 people, why does that say 10 people? Because obviously, I need to have at least 10 people. It could be 100 people, but all the people that got the aliyah in that minyan, so the one who gets Hagba, Hagolo, Sefer Torah, Kibo Schar Kulan, he gets the schar for all of them. And the Gemara questions this, really? Schar Kulan? Salka Daitach? Do you really think that he gets the schar of all of them? What did the other poor people do? The guy that got Kohen, the guy that got Levi, the guy that got Israel, they thought they had a tremendous schar for getting an aliyah to the Torah, and all of a sudden it's taken away from them because he did Hagba? That doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara says, you're right, that's not how to understand the Rabbi Yeshua Levi's statement. When he says, Hagolo, Sefer Torah, Kibo Schar Kulan, it means Elo Eimo, Kibo Schar Keneged Kulan. Just like the guy that got Kohen got X amount of schar. The guy who got Levi got X amount of schar. The guy who got Shlishi got X amount of schar. So there's 7 X's. So the guy who got his Hagba, he gets 7 X in terms of schar. He gets all the schar, Keneged all of them. Not that he takes away their schar, but he gets additional schar, Keneged every aliyah that was there beforehand. So you can see the great value of Hagba. Another memra from Rav Shvatya in the name of Yochanan. Rav Shvatya, Rav Yochanan. How do we know that when a person is in doubt as to what to do, as Rashi says, in believo lahaskel dover, person is thinking about doing this, right? Person says, should I not embark upon this job? Should I not do this chesed activity? Vishama call, and he hears a voice, oh hin, oh love, and the voice says, yes, hin, oh love, no. So holech achrav, he's allowed to go and follow what that voice says. And this is not considered divination. Vein kan mishum nichush. This is not called nichush. So, Rav Shvatya says, the name of Rav Yochanan, how do we know that you're allowed to listen to this? Minayin shemishtam shemavasko. So he says, he brings down the pasuk, shenemar, the pasuk from Yeshaya. It says, v'oznecho tishmano davar, me'acharecho lemor. Your ears will hear something from acharecho, and it will tell you what to do. Now, this is only true, however, the hani mili that you're allowed to listen to this is the shama kol gavro b'mosa. If you hear a man's voice in the town, as Rashi says, kol she'enu motzui, it's not a typical thing that you would hear. Or you hear the kol itza b'davro, or you hear a woman's voice out in the fields, which again, that's unlikely that it would be a normal talking, and therefore, this bas kol, therefore, is significant. And furthermore, he qualifies it and he says, hu damar hin hin. It says yes, yes. So it clearly is saying yes by a double lashon. Or hu damar, or the basko says lav lav, or says double lashon, no, no. And this strengthens it and tells us that you could, in fact, listen to this basko. Tosus over here in Dibra Masko, Minayin Shemishtam Shemavasko, brings out from the Yerushalmi that it says, lo tiznachashu, lo sa'oninu, this concern of divination over here is afal pish e nichush yesh simon. So it's not a full-fledged divination over here, and therefore that's why it's allowed, but you're allowed to go and learn something from this. There's a simon over here as to what a person might consider doing. Another statement from Rav Shvatya named Rav Yochanan. The Amar Rav Shvatya, Rav Yochanan, kol ha-kore b'lo nima. If a person lanes without trup, nima Rashi says kigon tameh mikros. So a person lanes without trup, or vishona, or he learns mishnayis below zimra without the tune of mishnayis. Tosus points out shoy regil l'shanos mishnayis b'zimra. They would commonly go and learn the mishnayis with a nigun. Lefi shoy yishonan. So alpet. This was tosha v'alpet. And it's very hard to remember all the Shisha Sidri Mishnah by heart. So therefore, they used to have songs to help you memorize it. So via using these songs, they could memorize it better. So if somebody goes and lanes without trup, or he learns Mishnayis without the Nigin, all of Akos of Omer, about such a person, it says, from the Pasuk in Yecheskel, V'gam ani nostatilem chukim lo tovim, the Gomer. Now the Gomer is very critical, because the next part of it says, Mishpatim lo yichyu, and you will have these mishpatim, these things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, these laws, they will cause you not to live. So we'll get to Darshan the Begomer in a second, but right now we're Darshan in the first part. So it says that if a person is not singing either with the trup or with the nigin for the mishnayis, so he's basically saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you gave me stuff which I'm not interested in. It's not good, and I don't want to really learn it and know it well. But there's a problem here. Maskev l'abayi. Really? Because the person didn't know how to make it nice. He didn't know the trop. He didn't know the nigin for the mishnayis. So the end of the pasuk, mishpatim lo yichyu bahem, karisbeh, should we say about such a person that he doesn't deserve to live? Is that really the punishment fitting the crime? So you're right. Elo k'Rav Masharsha. So Abaye says that no, you have to understand this the way Rav Masharsha did. What did Rav Masharsha say? The Omer Rav Masharsha said, "Shnei tamidei chachamim ayoshim yirachas ve'inochin ze ze bi'alocha." It's talking about if you have two tamidei chachamim that are living in the same city, and they don't really deal much with each other. They ignore each other. They nochin ze ze b'halocha. They sort of ignore each other and don't discuss matters of halacha. And this one paskins on his own, and this one paskins on his own. So these are two tamidei chacham. They should get together and make sure that they're discussing things. So about them, aleihem a cause of omer, v'gamani nesadilem chukim lo tovim, o mishpatim lo yichyu behem. This is a terrible thing that you're not having achdus in the town and talking with each other, and therefore it's as if you're saying these are chukim and mishpatim that you don't want to have anything to do with, and therefore they're not good. Rachmana litzlah. Okay, now we go to another statement made in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, not by Rabbi Shvatya, but Amar Rabbi Parnoch. Rabbi Parnoch said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Parnoch, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Ochei Sefer Torah Arum. If you hold on to the cloth of the Sefer Torah itself with your bare hands, in other words, without anything intervening with, you touch the cloth directly, Nikbar Arum. Such a person, Mida Kenegin Mida, so to say, you touch the Sefer Torah improperly with your bare hands, so you're going to be dying, you'll be buried without wearing clothing. Mora says, really? Is that a proper mida keneged mida? Arum soka daitach? Is this person supposedly deserving of dying without being buried in shrouds? That because he touched the Sefer Torah Arum? That doesn't make sense. So Mora says, you're right. That's not really what it meant. Elo Ema, when we said over here from Rapanach or Rav Yochanan, kol ochei Sefer Torah Arum, don't read it nikbar Arum, Elo Ema, nikbar Arum, below mitzvos. Such a person will be buried without mitzvos. So again, the Gemara questions and said, really, because he touched the Sefer Torah, so his five cycles of Daf Yomi should go out the window? Below, mitzvos sal kedaitach, is this again appropriate mida keneged mida? He went up there by accident, he touched the Sefer Torah with his hand, and now he lost 5 years of five cycles of Daf Yomi? Doesn't make any sense. What does he mean below mitzvos? So again, Abaye says, Elo Amar Abaye, Abaye tells us, when you understand the statement from Parnach Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Ochei Sefer Torah Arum, Mikbar Arum, below osa mitzvah, without that specific mitzvah, he won't get credit for that specific mitzvah. Now Tosu says, yesh meforshim mitzvah achiza. Some say that he won't get the mitzvah of holding on to the Sefer Torah, whatever he needs to be adjusting in the Sefer Torah. If he did it barehanded, so then he shouldn't go and get credit for whatever he's trying to do. So sometimes, for example, you see the Sefer Torah slipping down, so people go and grab it to pull it up, so you should grab it with a talus or something that you don't hold it with your bare hand. So the first explanation that Tosus gives is you won't get the mitzvah of the achiza. But he says, kosha, my revusa. Why would you need to tell me that? Pshitush ein lo schar kivish lo osa mitzvah kogim. Whatever he was trying to do, he didn't do it properly. Let's say he was doing Galila, and he touched it with his hand, so he didn't do Galila properly. So of course he doesn't get credit for Galila. He didn't do it properly. And therefore, l'cha'ek el kach pirush riva. Therefore, the riva says, below osa mitzvah, sha'osa bi osa shah. So let's say he just got an aliyah. So he wouldn't normally get the schar for the aliyah, but then he touched the Sefer Torah with his hand, so he lost, not touching the Sefer Torah right now, there was no mitzvah there, but he lost the mitzvah that he did a second before of getting an aliyah. So ba'osa shah means shim ocha Sefer Torah arum, the karabo. Instead of using the yad, he points out the place without the yad, so then ain lo schar mina kriya, he won't get benefit, the reward that he would have deserved for having that kriya. Likewise, if somebody's holding on to it with his bare hands and he's does the galila or he's correcting it in some way, so he's not going to get the credit for that mitzvah. However, if he holds it with his talus or with some sort of the mantle or something, so then Tosu wants to end this mesecta on a positive note. To such a person, he'll have a tremendous benefit, strength on his right hand, and he'll have osher and chavod on his left hand. So it's orech yomim and osher and chavod. What a great way to end the mesecta, and that's how Tosu concludes this mesecta. So therefore, that's what it means. He won't get that mitzvah that he was involved in right before he touched the Sefer Torah with his bare hands. Finally, we have the last statement of the Masechta. Amar Rav Yanai, Berei de Rav Yanai, Saba Rav Yanai, who was the son of the elder of Rav Yanai, Mishmei de Rav Yanai Rabba, who said it over the name of the great Rav Yanai. So we have a lot of different Rav Yanais over here. Rav Yanai, who was the son of the older Rav Yanai, who said it over the name of the great Rav Yanai. He says, Mutov tigolol hamit pachas v'ayigolol Sefer Torah. When you're rolling a Sefer Torah, when you're doing Galila, here is now what we really call Galila, so you have a choice. You have to wrap the gartel around the Sefer Torah, or theoretically, you could put the gartel on the bima and then roll the Sefer Torah over the gartel. So Rav Yanai, saying over the name of Rav Yanai Saba, saying over the name of Rav Yanai Rabba, says the right way to do this is to move the gartel around the Sefer Torah, because it would be denigrating the Sefer Torah to move the Sefer Torah around the gartel. So do it in the most b'chavadik way, that's what he's telling us. Finally, we quote the Mishnah where it said, "Vayidabe Moshe Smodei Hashem Bnei Yisrael." What is the purpose of telling us this statement that Moshe spoke to the Klal Yisrael and he spoke about the Moadei Hashem El Bnei Yisrael? So mitzvos, and he's teaching us shiukorin oson kol echad v'echad bismano. So as the Mishnah said, this is teaching us that you should have the special laning related to the Inyana Diyoma for each laning for the special days, like we went through in this Mishnah. And the Gemara adds, Tana Rabbanan, and we conclude the Masecht on this beautiful note. Tana Rabbanan, Moshe tikin lem Yisrael, Moshe was masakin for Klai Yisrael, shushoalin, that we should ask, v'dorishim, and explaining, b'inyano shoyom, with the related things to the upcoming yontif, hilchos Pesach b'Pesach, hilchos atzeres b'atzeres, hilchos chag b'chag. This is the famous din, that 30 days before the yontif, you start learning about that yontif. So, it was originally masukin for Pesach, because there's so many halachas to learn about Pesach. So Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that was masakin. It's an early takana that a person should start learning for the yontif 30 days before the yontif. 30 days before Pesach, you learn hilchos Pesach. 30 days before Shavuos Atzeres, you learn hilchos Atzeres. And 30 days before Sukkot, that's always called Chag, hilchos Chag b'Chag. And that is the proper way for a person to conduct himself. This concludes this beautiful Masechta Megillah. And just in time, people can chazu it. And they wish right before, we're in the middle of Chodesh Shavat right now, and Mitz Hashem, we have this year Adar Aleph coming up, and then Adar Beis, where we'll actually put into practice many of these halachos of, as we've been learning, the Arba Parshios, and then the halachos of Purim. Mitz Hashem, Hadron Alecha Bnei Ha'ir, Uslikala Masechta Megillah, we should return to this Masechta, to this Perek, and to this entire Masechta, Hadron Alecha Bnei Ha'ir, Uslikala Masechta Megillah, Hadron Alecha Bnei Ha'ir, Uslikala Masechta Megillah. And with this we conclude Teishir, and this Perek, the fourth Perek, and this Masechta. Enjoy, Mitzvah Shem, we start Moed Katan tomorrow.